What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, January 17th. We are halfway through the month. And we're also halfway through the week after the Miami Dolphins have been eliminated. It's a week that comes every year. We're used to it. Unfortunately, for the past 20-plus years, this week has come before the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and it's just so unfortunate that it happens again and again and again and again. And then next season, maybe we'll get all hyped up, and then it'll happen again. Do we know what's going to happen next season? We don't. Do we know what's going to happen this offseason for the Miami Dolphins? We don't. Do we know what's going to happen the rest of this week? We don't. Here on the show, normally, when the Dolphins lose a game, there's a pattern to the week. They lose. I'm here on Monday. It's not a victory Monday. We just break the game down completely. By Tuesday, getting a little bit more reaction, talking about it. The Dolphins are. I'm talking about it. We're all talking about it. And then comes Wednesday, we turn the page. And then Thursday and Friday, we're laser focused on the next opponent. Sometimes I'll throw some University of Miami football stuff at you. But come December, there's only one game, the bowl game. And this past season, it was like the Weed Eater Bowl or the Lawnmower Bowl, whatever that was. Now there's no Canes and there's no Dolphins. There's no next opponent. The next opponent for the Dolphins is a preseason game sometime in August. And then a real game sometime in September. It's January 17th. How difficult is that to put in your head? And you're used to it, but it's still difficult every year. It does not matter how many years in a row this happens. Every year, it's the same way, it's the same thing, and it's the same feeling. Middle of January, we've got to wait all the way until September for a real football game, at least with the Dolphins. With the final loss of the season and that being a playoff loss, we've got no next game to talk about until then. So now it's the offseason. It's all about roster construction. There's a lot of questions. What went wrong? The bottom line is this process of sorting out the Dolphins' loss, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I talk to a lot of Dolphins fans. I interact a lot lately with Twitter, and I can tell you, Dolphins fans are not nearly done with what happened in Kansas City. So as long as that continues, and I'm sure it will for a while, and then more news will come out, I will continue to hammer this subject because this is the subject that's on a South Florida sports fan's mind. So I am coming to you on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, at least it's beautiful here, in lovely Colombia! In Medellin, to be exact. Was laying out at the pool, just having a very nice time. I'll be back in South Florida next week. Then I will be taking a few days off. I'm going to go to
Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
That was supposed to be like a scouting trip. Because the Dolphins were supposed to go there in February. But I'm not going to scout anything out. I will just play poker. I'll play some blackjack. I'll eat well. I'm just going there for a couple of nights. And then I'll be back in South Florida for Championship Sunday. I plan to watch the championship games at the sports bar / sports book at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I figure, hey, two games, Championship Sunday, let me get a table. Let me invite some football friends over, maybe even some of you in the listening audience. Sometimes that's a good thing. Other times, that's a horrendous idea because you never know who's going to show up. I've done remotes before at places, and you get all types of people to come out. We just want to have a good time. Good time, watch football. So if I do something like that, I'll let you know. Just by mentioning it right now, I'm sure I'm going to get plenty of DMs and emails and all that sort of stuff. But it's cool to interact with the majority of you. Other than that, I mean, you can kind of tell my mood is, it's kind of down. We got football this weekend, and that's great. I'll be watching the games, and I think they'll be a lot better than the wild card weekend that we just had. But the Dolphins aren't in it. And my excitement level when the Dolphins were alive was way up there. I'm all about South Florida. I want every single South Florida team to win. We had a great 2023. 2024 has not started out well. The Dolphins could not do their job like the Panthers did, the Heat, the University of Miami basketball team, the FAU basketball team, the Marlins. They got in. They didn't win, but they got in. The Dolphins just couldn't do their job. They got in, they didn't win, and we're not supposed to be comparing the Miami Dolphins to the Miami Marlins. But when you look at postseason success, I know the Marlins had that COVID year where they beat the Cubs, but you got to go back. That wasn't a real thing. I mean, it was real, but it wasn't real. You got to go back to 2003. And I saw this whole list of all professional sports teams, the longest drought of winning a playoff game, and it's the Dolphins. What in the world? How is Stephen Ross putting up with this? He ain't going to put up with it for much longer. At least I don't believe so. All right, well, I got a lot to get to this hour, but I can't get to any of it until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Here is a concept that I need to drill down, and I need to do that because I believe it. Deep within my soul, and I'm not trying to get all spiritual here, but I really do believe this. There are ways to protect the Miami Dolphins franchise to build for a possible future while at the same time you give Tua another shot at this. I consider myself a realist. I don't make decisions purely on emotion. Have I done that before in my life? Absolutely. Especially when you're dealing with girls. Oh my gosh. You get a text message and you just want to respond and you've got that anger in you or something. Maybe it's the opposite of anger and you just say, let me take a step back. Let me give it a couple of hours. Don't reply yet. And then there's a whole different logic in your mind. And I've learned from that. You got to learn from your mistakes. I've been doing this show almost 16 years. Everything that I've ever said on the airwaves, opinionated, is not always the way that I'm going to stand for life. We change opinions. Now, when I give you a
Slater scoop,
then it's 100. Opinions are completely different. So, have I said things in the past where I regret it later on? Absolutely. But I try to learn from that. Try being the key word. So, I like to think about things deeply. This quarterback situation with the Miami Dolphins, it is the most important decision that will be made their entire offseason. It will impact everything. And when we watch these games this weekend, we're going to see a lot of really good quarterback play. And we're going to see it from some of the best in the game. Because those best quarterbacks in the game, they're still playing. Look at the AFC. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. If I asked you before this season started, if I said, give me the top three quarterbacks in the AFC, maybe you would have thrown Joe Burrow in there, and Joe Burrow got hurt. He wasn't doing all that great, and then he was hurt. He was out. You probably would have had Lamar in there. You definitely would have had Patrick Mahomes in there. And maybe you wouldn't have had Burrow. Maybe you would have had Josh Allen. And those three guys are there. C.J. Stroud, he's also there in the AFC. And he's a rookie. He showed a lot of promise. Heck, the Colts, look at them. I mean, they have Anthony Richardson, also a rookie who got hurt. He was showing a lot of promise. The quarterback position matters more than anything else that's going to be done for this Dolphins organization. There's already been an investment made with Tua, and I respect that. I'm not just talking about a financial investment. Sure, Tua's made some bank, but that's not it. Tua was a high draft pick. The Dolphins have spent 4 years working with him. Mike McDaniel, he came in and he took the first 2 years of his entire head coaching life trying to turn Tua into an elite QB. And he led the NFL in passing. So it's not like all that effort was for nothing. Tua could come out next season, year five. He could stay healthy. He could be brilliant the entire year. He could put up similar numbers. And then come playoff time, he could win a playoff game. I mean, that's something that could happen. And because it could happen, you don't want to completely throw that away. If the Miami Dolphins were to move Tua somehow, whether it be a trade or something that won't happen, which is a release, that's not happening. But whatever the case may be, if the Dolphins were going to move on from Tua, they don't have to do that now. And I'm sure they won't do it now. There's no reason to do it now. You've spent time, 4 years, you've made that investment in him, and you want to do everything you can to reap the rewards of that investment. So getting rid of him now would be a bad decision. I think we can all agree with that. The Miami Dolphins should want year five of Tua. They've got him under a fifth-year option, and it's not that expensive. So you send him out there, and you hope that he can be very similar or better during the regular season and then win a playoff game. That's what you're hoping for. Look, he was concussed last year, and he missed the end of that season. And after that happened, the Dolphins decided to pick up his fifth-year option. And they did that probably because it made financial sense. So Tua's going to be given a shot here in year five. You might be saying, okay, well, where's the negative side? The negative side is this. Sure, he could win a playoff game next year. He could be better. But you take a look at his record, and he's 0-5 in the cold. Most playoff games are played in the cold, unless you're going to win 12 or 13 regular season games. And the Dolphins were 1-6 against good teams. Josh Allen is still in their division. Aaron Rodgers is coming back next season. The Patriots will have a new head coach, Jared Mayo. And I'm sure they're going to have a highly drafted young quarterback. So the chances of the Dolphins having a home playoff game next season, right off the bat, you never know what's going to happen in the league, but I'd say not so good. Tua, he can be exceptional with his first read. If everything is going right, he's fantastic. The problem is this is the National Football League, and rarely does everything go right. When the play breaks down, mistakes are being made. It's up to the quarterback to fix those mistakes and mask those weaknesses. I was talking about it yesterday, and Tua does not do that well. That has proven to be a problem and a big limitation for him. So I hope in year five, the Miami Dolphins, they'll be able to get more data. And they'll be able to get whatever Tua has in him in his fifth season. We're going to see it. Whatever he's got, he's got to show it. He's got to go all out. He's got to win a playoff game. Until he can do all of that, I do not want the Miami Dolphins to commit long-term to him. They shouldn't. Because I don't know if he can be that guy for the next 5 to 10 years. There are a lot of things in his favor, but there are many things that concern me and many others to where I think, do you really want to marry yourself to this dude for a long time? Going into this past season, I only had one question. Now I got more. Now the one question I had was answered, and it was a big question. Can he stay healthy for an entire year? And he did. And given all of the injuries that we see in the league, especially to the head, Tua did a really good job. There were a lot of people, probably including myself, that said, there's no way he can do it. What are the chances? The way he falls, okay, he's going to take martial arts. What is that going to really do in a live football game? Well, Tua answered that question. He was healthy all season, and he was smart. He learned to protect himself. People clowned him about it, but it worked. He fell better. He wasn't being thrown around like a rag doll. If the Dolphins were going to invest anything into him, the first thing that had to happen was he had to be able to be on the field. But that next step, and I don't know if he can take it, he's got to be a winner. And when everything around him is not perfect, he's got to make those broken plays. He's got to do something really well against good defenses. And right now, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that long term. So until I have an answer there, I don't feel comfortable with the Miami Dolphins throwing a bag of money at him. He's not there yet. I need him to prove that in year five. And from what I heard out of Chris Greer's mouth the other day, it sounds to me like Chris Greer and his peeps, they need to see the same thing. You cannot throw a bag of money at Tua Tagovailoa until he proves he can be excellent all around and win a playoff game for this team. You cannot hamper the rest of this roster by just saying, here you go. Here's your money. You can't do that. So what is the move? If the Miami Dolphins do exactly what I'm saying, if they do not throw the bag of money at Tua, if they essentially say, we need to see you prove you can do this in year five, what is the next move? Well, yeah, we know Tua starts year five. But what is the backup plan? That's what I want to get to in just a moment. Here's what your plan should be if you're into playing poker. Right now, the Lucky Hearts Poker Open is happening at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. The main event is coming up with a $2 million guarantee in the prize pool. There are so many different tournaments going on right now at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, all part of the Lucky Hearts Poker Open. They've got about 80 poker tables set up in the ballroom. For the entire tournament schedule, visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. A lot of chips flying around right now during the Lucky Hearts Poker Open at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I already talked about step one. Do not sign Tua to a long-term contract right now. And also, don't get rid of him. He's under contract for next season. Let him play that out. Now, is it possible that Tua could hold out? Will he make a big stink about playing on a fifth-year option? I don't think so. Tua's a humble guy. He's about winning. I think he knows making his contract a big talker would be a distraction for the team and for the franchise. So I can't see that. Could it happen? Sure. I just can't see it right now. But there's more to it. Because I think this is the move, the one that I'm suggesting, that Tua's not going to like. But my feeling to him not liking that is, you know what, tough, you got to deal with this. So on top of keeping him for year five and saying, all right, go out and prove it, we're not giving you your bag yet, I feel that with the 21st pick in the draft, the Miami Dolphins should select a quarterback. That's correct, a quarterback. That's the position they should go for in the first round. You might be screaming, hey, we got other needs. I know there's other needs. The Dolphins could use a fast playmaking tight end. They need secondary help. They need help on the offensive line. There's a lot of help needed. But I believe the Dolphins need to draft and develop a quarterback so it'll give them depth at that position. Because if Tua is not the guy, then they'll have somebody ready to go and they're already in-house. And whoever that quarterback is can grow 1 year under Tua. Then we gather next offseason, and if the Dolphins want to move on from Tua, they've got their man. If they don't, then they have an asset. That asset can continue to sit and develop, or if they really love Tua and what he did in year five, they could trade that asset. The teams that win championships, they are in love with their quarterback position. It's not like, oh, we just like that quarterback. No, they love that quarterback, and they use it as a position of strength, not a question mark. Look at the four teams in the AFC. Is Patrick Mahomes a question mark? Is Josh Allen a question mark? Is Lamar Jackson a question mark? Is CJ Stroud a question mark? Those teams are in love with their quarterbacks, and Stroud's year one. The Dolphins aren't in love with theirs. Chris Greer sat at the podium the other day at the table with the microphone in front of him. We need to see Tua produce at a high level. You think you're getting a press conference hearing that in regards to Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, or CJ Stroud? Kidding me? So if the Dolphins do take a QB at 21, will it bother Tua? Of course it will. If you threw for the most yards in the National Football League and your team both did not extend you and brought in a possible replacement, it would tick you off as well. And you know what? Good. Use that. Go out and have a legendary season that makes it turn into a bad pick. And if that doesn't happen, well, then the organization has their man of the future who can learn on the job. I fully acknowledge that this is putting a disproportionate amount of focus on the quarterback position by doing it. But I feel like that's how it's supposed to be. In the NFL, teams win because of their QB. That's just the way the league has become. Is any of this fair to Tua? Not really, but he made his bed. He was given Tyreek. He was given Jalen Waddle. He was given Raheem Mostert. He was given Devon Achane. And he produced 7 points in the most important game of the season. The 70 against Denver doesn't matter. The 7 against the Chiefs does. So the Dolphins need to get better at that position. Because when it comes to the most important time of the season, the person at that position needs to win you a football game. Now, while I mention winning, I love winning at Gulfstream Park, but if you go there, you're going to feel like you're winning regardless. The championship meet is going on right now at Gulfstream Park, and the championship meet, that means the best of the best. The best horses in the world are at Gulfstream Park. The best jockeys in the world are at Gulfstream Park. When I go to Gulfstream Park, I go to their trackside restaurant, 10 Palms. You can make a reservation to get a table. Visit GulfstreamPark.com. You get a fantastic meal, whether you order from the menu or you go to the buffet. You get the best view in the house of the races live because they're right in front of you. And, of course, you could wager on them too. Heck, you could wager as little as 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. Head on out to Hollandale Beach. That's where Gulfstream Park is. Live racing every Thursday through Sunday. It is the championship meet going on right now in our own backyard at Gulfstream Park. Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol is going to join me in just a minute. Maybe one of your goals in 2024, no speeding tickets. That's quite a goal, but I know you've got other goals, financial goals, and Trajan Wealth. They're there in Palm Beach locally to help you. Trajan Wealth will help you design a plan that's based around those goals that maybe you just made in 2024 or that you've been trying to achieve for quite some time. Visit Trajan Wealth's site because it will cost you nothing to set up a meeting with them. TrajanWealth.com. That's the site. TrajanWealth.com. Or if you want to call them, again, they're located locally in Palm Beach, 561-390-1000. It'll cost you nothing to set up a meeting with Trajan Wealth. Let them start helping you today. Do not wait any longer. Advisory services are offered through Trajan Wealth LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor, and this is a paid advertisement. Here on this Wednesday, just like every other Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol is with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, you've been on this program for many years now. Sergeant Wysocki, Mark Wysocki, was doing this show for maybe 10-plus years. Then you took over. Neither of you, during this entire time, have been able to talk about a Dolphins parade. So now what do we do? I mean, neither of you. What do we do?
So I'm going to tell you this. What I can confirm is that we do have a draft version of an operational plan for the parade. However, unfortunately, once again, it'll have to be archived with the optimistics of utilizing it next year.
That parade plan, Lieutenant, I mean, it's been passed along from Wysocki and whoever was before him. It's got to be yellow by now. I mean, there's no way that could be fresh and in good condition.
A few coffee stains on it, maybe.
My gosh. Well, Lieutenant Camacho, I know you've got nothing to do with how the Dolphins did this year, but hey, the parade, I'm sure, would have been on I-95, the Turnpike, 595, all over the place. So mid-February, traffic should be flowing, unfortunately. Look, traffic seemed to be flowing a couple of days ago. MLK Day, the bikes up, guns down. This is the first time I didn't really hear about any chases or big things happening. Did I just not hear about them, or was there nothing happening?
No, I mean, for the Florida Highway Patrol, I'm happy to report that we did not have any bicyclists, any ATVs or dirt bikes enter onto the limited access highways. I think it's just been already the years of our efforts in, first of all, educating everybody. We hold news conferences to advise everybody that we will be out there. We see the trends that have occurred in the past, and we kind of know what to anticipate as far as, you know, we get some intelligence on it. And there was a small group of about 150 bicyclists, I want to say, but they remained on surface streets with police around them at all times, ensuring that they weren't interfering with motorists or doing their best really to do that. But as far as the highway patrol side, I'm happy to report that they did not enter the limited access highways. And that's important because these are major arteries in our county. A lot of vehicles going at high rates of speed. And you can imagine if you get a group of bicyclists or ATVs going at a slower speed, it can just be, it's a recipe for disaster. So we're happy. No incidents to report from it. Everybody on the positive side, we participated in several parades, several outreach events. So at least it was a very positive day for us.
You had to bring up the parade thing again. I mean,
well, the Martin Luther King parade.
Well, I know that, but it's a very soft subject. I thought we buried that after a couple of minutes. So who gets the credit for none of this taking place on the expressways? Is it you guys, or do you credit the participants for saying, you know what, we're going to be smart this year, we're going to stay off 95 and the Palmetto?
Well, I hope that our message reached the participants, right? The people riding. I hope that our message reached it. But I would love to take the credit for it as an agency, but I have to be honest when I say we can't do it without our partner agencies, our municipal partners, because everybody understands the importance of keeping these highways flowing and not having anybody interfere with motorists. So primarily it was our responsibility to keep them off the highway, but we could not have done it without, you know, aerial support from our partner agencies, assisting us with communications or with the location of these groups, and us just really maintaining that highly visible presence as a deterrence for them.
The whole thing kind of feels played out, though, at least to me. Do you think maybe that's part of the reason? Not trying to, you know, take away credit from the agencies and law enforcement, but when you see these, I don't know if I'll call them fads or trends, Lieutenant, and they last a certain amount of time, eventually they fade away. Do you kind of feel like maybe that's what's happening here?
Yeah, maybe it's lost some popularity as far as the participants. Maybe it's a combination of the vehicles that have been or the bikes that have been towed and the people that have been arrested as a result of it. I think it's a combination. Maybe it's kind of staled out as a trend, and our efforts combined with, again, the messaging. And I think it's just kind of really, really quelled it. Honestly, it's really brought it down.
So here's something that I saw. This was a headline. I saw it on social media, and I want to bring it up because to me this sounds like a lot. You guys being the Florida Highway Patrol, you arrested somebody. I don't know if it was on a traffic stop, but there were 15,000 fentanyl pills. That's a lot, right?
It is. This was in Orlando. It was a vehicle seen driving recklessly in the Kissimmee Park area. And it was one of our criminal interdiction unit guys. It was a Mercedes SUV that actually cut off one of our state troopers. And the trooper, obviously, wasn't really happy about that. He noticed the car had some illegal tint. So a couple of reasons why he stopped them. And then as they tried to stop him, the Mercedes kind of obviously flees from him, goes through a curve at some point, doesn't negotiate the curve properly, loses control, crashes. And, you know, the troopers, you know, take that person into custody, 22-year-old white male out of the Kissimmee area. And he was, you know, as they did the search of the vehicle for the, you know, the inventory of the vehicle, they noticed some, you know, indicators of narcotics. And so they ran the canine. The canine gave a positive alert to the presence of narcotics, and the search revealed, I mean, a gun, drug paraphernalia, 15,000 fentanyl pills, masked as like OxyContin. They were made to look like OxyContin pills, and they were in this like clear vacuum sealed bag. Obviously, a lot of major charges for this person, a lot of felonies, and just I wanted just to echo what our director said about it. I mean, that, you know, even though these really dangerous narcotics, deadly narcotics, really, because fentanyl really is deadly. Our guys are out there putting themselves in these high risk situations and really not backing down and doing everything they can to try to stop this type of criminal behavior. So kudos to these guys in Orlando for doing a great job.
I'll never understand this, because I used to do a lot of ride alongs with the Florida Highway Patrol. And one, there were so many incidents. But one thing was that there was a traffic jam and somebody was blaring music, like extremely loud. Like you were at Club Live or something, and they wound up getting stopped by the trooper, and the person driving had a suspended license.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, Lieutenant, like, is it not the smartest thing in the world to do something completely stupid if you have something illegal in your car, or if you're illegal with your license? Like, why bring attention to yourself? Or
yeah, bringing attention to yourself in a negative way, right? I mean, like the music blasting or you know, cutting off a state trooper in a you know, marked SUV, or you know, speeding, really anything. If you know you have an arrest warrant and you're driving, or you're driving without a license, I mean, you know, obviously you shouldn't be doing those things. You shouldn't be out and about, right? But yeah, you would think not attracting attention to yourself, but you know, Andy, like they say, you know, common sense just isn't common. So these things happen, and these things happen every day. You'd be surprised how many people get stopped for reasons that might seem as no-brainers, and then there's all this other stuff is revealed as a result of that stop.
Right, because if the driver's not wearing a seatbelt, and I think even the passenger in the front isn't wearing a seatbelt, that gives you guys the right to stop someone, and then they could have something illegal.
Right, right, right. You have to obey all traffic laws. Even texting before wasn't a primary offense. Now, if you're texting, which most people are, a lot of people still are driving distracted out there, that's now a primary reason to get stopped. So
nobody's perfect. I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm perfect, that I'm not out there breaking any law. I think we all break laws.
Right.
But
right. I think there's some that aren't as I mean, they're all important and they're all in place for a reason, without a doubt. But things like wearing your seatbelt, a lot of people don't like to wear it because they think, oh, it's going to wrinkle my shirt or something, or it's just uncomfortable. But, you know, it's a law that's in place for a reason. And like you said, nobody's perfect, right? But it's a reason to get you stopped and get you a citation. And most importantly, it can, you know, it can save your life if you're involved in a crash. But some people just refuse to wear it.
Well, this brings me actually to my final question, because this was another story that I saw, and it was here in South Florida, where a trooper was going after someone, I think in a Mitsubishi Lancer. It doesn't really sound fast, but I guess it is. And they wound up fleeing. So there was a chase. But the main point I got from that story, Lieutenant, was that the trooper was trying to pull two cars over at the same time. And a lot of times you'll hear, oh, well, you know, the guy in front of me was speeding. Why don't you go get him? Why did you get me? There's more people doing the wrong thing out here, and it's not just me. So how does that work when you're trying to pull over? Or how do you do it? It didn't work this time. When you try to pull over two cars at the same time.
Well, I don't necessarily think his intentions were to stop both vehicles at the same time. You really can't do that. You can't be in two places at once. It would have to be almost played out perfectly on both sides, where both drivers stop and pull over at the same exact location at the same exact time. Otherwise, what the trooper observed was two vehicles drag racing, and I think he got them going at a speed of 112 miles an hour on the turnpike. So I think when he activated his lights, his observation was two vehicles racing, which means they were both speeding, right? Potentially driving recklessly. One vehicle started to slow down and maybe show signage of pulling over. However, this other person in this Lancer, 19-year-old young kid, man, he decided to run. He decided to flee, and so the vehicle, and so the trooper pursued him, and he ended up getting to a point where the traffic had slowed down a little bit, and he tried to kind of maneuver his way through traffic, and being that he's 19 years old, I would assume he doesn't have too much driving experience. And he crashed into another vehicle as he was trying to change lanes and get away from the trooper. Luckily, the driver that was fleeing wasn't hurt seriously. At least he was transported, but minor injuries. The people in that other vehicle, minor injuries as well. But the point is here, you know, if we were to allow that to continue and see those vehicles operating recklessly, who knows what else could have happened if they would have been, you know, driving at those speeds. But now you couple it with trying to flee from a trooper, and you know, he has to be held accountable for that. And he was arrested without further incident, taken to the hospital, checked out, and he was taken to jail. But just, it's crazy because he's such a young kid. You know, when I saw this, and it happened in Miami, not too far from where I live, actually.
If you pull over, okay, so you're drag racing. You're doing 112 on the turnpike, not smart.
Right.
You pull over. Like, if you're the trooper, if you're the lieutenant behind him and he pulls over, how does Lieutenant Camacho handle that?
If one person pulls over?
Yeah, just you get the guy to pull over. He doesn't flee. Like, what do you do?
I would address the violation. Obviously, I would talk to him, first of all. In this case, a 19-year-old kid, I would really have a serious talk with him. Not a minor anymore, so you really can't get the parents involved, although I would maybe do it anyway, just as a courtesy. But really, at that point, when they're young like that, Andy, it's still a teenager, you know? I mean, I think you just got to really try to impact them in a way where it's not just, okay, we're going to tow your car, we're going to give you a ticket, or even arrest you. It's just, you need to really try to get that message, make it a teachable moment if possible. But I mean, that's what I would do now. Maybe if you asked me when I first started, I would have just arrested him and towed his car and that was it, you know, and I'd say, you're a bad guy. You're going to jail. You're driving recklessly out here. You're putting other people in danger. But now I think maybe because I'm a father now, I don't know.
It's because you're doing the show now, and you know, now you gotta, you can't be so aggressive. You're here on the program every week, Lieutenant. I mean, you gotta be more educational. That's what I've done for you.
Yeah. Yeah. See? I think so. Maybe that's it.
I've gotten you to be much nicer, although you were always nice since I met you. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. I'm glad you have those dolphin parade plans archived somewhere.
Yes.
Hopefully we need him next year. We'll see. Lieutenant, be safe out there, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Andy. Take care.
All right, Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. We're all out there on the road, and we're all doing something wrong. Illegal tins, speeding, whatever it may be. But some people, I mean, if you got something wrong with you, or you got something illegal, something you shouldn't have in your car, the dumbest thing you could do is bring attention to yourself. All right, that's all the time I got for this Wednesday afternoon. We will do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.